only batik I have is this one here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a sarong, and I brought another ikat. And this. Or we could make another appointment for Tuesday.
After class, I have another class.
Okay.
So I'll work with one of those. And
okay. All right.
That's fine. Thank you for being here. I'll wait until
11. Is that, yeah. Oh, Janet was going to be here at 10:45. Okay.
As soon as I sit down at this, I'm gonna be like, oh, look at that.
So remember then, when you're looking at the weft ikat, they've tied and dyed the threads that they're weaving in this way. This is the more difficult technique because the warp threads are all the same color, and they would have had to have strung up these weft threads on a different frame to tie and dye them to get these different, think about the different color variations. Would the colors have to go in at different times? Have you done any textile design or printing of any sort? So you have to lay in each color separately when you're doing this sort of thing, and then change where the resist is, and then lay in the next color. So this particular color, this goldish, beigeish, could either be possibly the raw silk, but I would bet that it's probably dyed as well.
But then it would have been the first one.
You either do the dark first or the light first, depending on the technique that they're going to choose. Being that they have so much of the light and so little of the dark accent, you're probably right. Because look where they laid the dark over. Doesn't it look like they laid it over the yellow and not vice versa? So that would mean that they did the tying and dyeing here. But what is interesting then is these darker rose parts here aren't the same. They look purposefully to bring out this motif in contrast to these. So there's obviously the artist is looking to create some more depth in the textile, even though she's using a very similar color. You have that change. So there's a number of colors in here that we used for this motif. And the motif is something you're going to want to consider.
Even
too.
Even than this, there's that darker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That seems to sort of go over where there was a yellow, you know.
When they do the dyeing, though, this is where I get confused. Are they putting the dye, like, on, I mean, if the weft threads were somewhere else, would they be putting the dye on, or would they be dipping?
It's dipping.
Dipping, okay.
That's
so
why
I
you
assume.
Have to tie every single thread.
The
and look at the strength of these threads. They're minuscule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't have trouble doing like those little loop pat holders. I can't even imagine this. Okay. Are you going to be having office hours like the week after?
Okay.
We have class through this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like if I am down and there are things that I feel like I need to see again, we can schedule them. Okay.
Yeah.
That's super.
Because
I'll see how the pictures
can,
turn
though.
Out. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll get the pictures done this afternoon.
Okay.
And then
okay.
If there's things that I'm just feel like I'm missing, I'll schedule with you right away.
Okay.
Now the gold thread, we talked about this in class, but it is the base of it is a cotton or a silk. And then the gold is
wrapped.
Right. Around it.
And
okay.
You know
how
where you
can
try
yeah.
and look for that? Is always when you're looking at this sort of object, look at the back, because you're going to be able to see, especially in a supplementary weft technique, you're going to be able to see more about how they construct it. If you can see a little bit of how the metallic thread here for this crochet, which is a different consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You may also be able to find a thread that gives you a sense of here's one here, see this? That looks like it's come loose out of its wrapping. So you might want to take a close look at those to see if it could. And interestingly, they skipped with that, you know, remember they're weaving this side up?
Yeah.
So they can have these little spools of thread above and not hanging below, which is
mm-hmm.
really difficult. Here, obviously, they went from place to place, and there they stopped and knotted at each.
Yeah, because there's little knots in the corner of each one. Here's a little patch. Overwhelmed right now.
Well, again, it's just a beginning, a basic look, see, and trying to start considering not necessarily completely how they made it, but as much as basically you can tell about it. And then, more importantly, is it Balinese? Is it Sumatran? Where do you think? I bought it in Bali.
Okay. And, I mean, you also don't know, like, when it was done?
It's very hard to date textiles. Obviously, from the wear and tear, it's been done some time ago.
Okay.
If you can find any information on when they were crocheting, that might help. But that may be a long shot. That may be for a larger research project. Dating would be difficult, other than we know it's probably at least 50 years old, I would imagine.
Okay.
At least early 20th century, if not later.
Okay.
I
don't know if this is something I should.
You may be able to. You may be able to tell when you look at images, color images. Look for this. Try to match this color, this particular shade.
Okay.
May tell you something date-wise.
Okay. Do you know? I might find this out from researching too. But if it was common to do both the ikat and the.
In Palembang, it is now,
okay.
Which is Palembang, Palembang. It's a city in East Sumatra. Remember, that's the other place in Sumatra that does the Songket.
Okay.
So the places that do Songket are Sumatra or Palembang area and Minangkabau, which we looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And also Bali. But what's interesting is they all do a form of ikat too, but where would they do weft ikat alone with songket? I have seen contemporary versions in Palembang. So you want to compare and contrast motifs and sizes, that kind of thing, colors of both Bali and Sumatra. To see if that leads you anywhere.
Okay.
So the books that deal with generally Indonesian textiles, Sumatran textiles, Balinese textiles, are all over surveys of Southeast Asia, and just flip through and look for the Indonesian sections.
Okay.
That'll give you some clues.
And most, I mean, do you think we'd be able to get enough out of the stuff that's on reserve? Or will we be going, like, way beyond that?
It might help if you go beyond that, but I would start in the reserves.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And you could, remember, if you do a Merlin search, if you
mm-hmm.
do a subject search, you may get completely different answers than if you do a keyword search. And remember, keyword, you might find something on Songket. I haven't looked that up yet.
Okay.
But,
and you can specify the library, can't you?
Hmm?
I think you can specify the library, too. Or maybe not.
Oh, in the search?
In Merlin.
Yeah, but don't specify the library, because there are some textile books not in Fine Arts, but over in Hatcher.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So, but you probably stick between Hatcher and here.
Okay.
Okay. Just have fun with it.
Okay.
Alrighty? Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Only one more week.
I know. So fast.
Okay, it's just going. Do you need, don't we need to sign something?
Yeah, we already have your information from last time. So.
Wait, Rebecca. Yeah. And I'll go make another copy.
Actually, I have a couple more.
Do you? Okay, great. Okay, and you'll be back at 12:30?
Yes.
Okay, I've actually got students coming in all the way to noon, so.
Okay.
Whenever. I'll be here until. And if someone doesn't agree, where's your stop button?
If someone doesn't agree, what we can do is take it off afterwards. We put the file into the computer, record it as an MP3, and then just cut out any text that people don't want.
Okay.
Would you prefer that I stay so that I can actually stop the recorder?
Janet?
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, the person who was your 11 o'clock appointment had to go upstairs. She said she'd be back in 20 minutes.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I'm late. The vicissitudes of the commuter.
We're recording just the office visit. If you mind or not, it's a linguistic study.
Okay, for the English Language Institute, right? It's just for use by linguists who are not
reading
English. Yeah, teaching English as a second language course.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's
right.
No problem.
Sure.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's fine.
And then just can you go when you get a chance?
Right.
This is the consent form.
Okay, sure.
Okay. So these are the consent forms?
Yeah, and if people have time to fill out these forms to just the bottom part, that would be great. But if not, it's okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
How are you today?
Good. How about you?
Not too bad. The sun is out for a change.
Yeah. We may have summer after all.
What could be a problem? This is so beautiful. The minute you brought this out, I thought, oh gosh, I have to know something about that textile.
Okay. Well, obviously, we're looking at the back side
mm-hmm.
here. And if you'd like to put it down on the floor to take photographs or measure, that's fine. Oh, are you prepared? Great.
Great,
okay.
Thanks. And it's a sewing kit, right?
Well, we have different techniques, right?
Wait a minute.
So
yeah.
Let's look more closely. Oops. The problem with this is these edges are constantly grabbing. So what do we see here? You must recognize this.
Yes, we've got all of this lovely work with the metal and the
mm-hmm.
almost like a lace. Gosh, that's
it's called
very
crochet.
Complicated. Yeah, that's really.
So we have sunken. We have this odd crocheted border, and you'll note when you look that there's different ways that it was attached,
mm-hmm.
different threads. So I guess it was obviously added later. We don't know how late. And then we have the center field.
Oh, okay. So now we have an E-cut.
Mm-hmm. And then when you look at an E-cut, are you thinking what type of E-cut? So that's important to know. Is it warp? Is it weft? Is it double?
Well, I can see that it's not double. I'm thinking, okay, I'm always confused with the warp and the weft.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the one that goes across?
Well, now we know that sunket, right?
Yes.
We know that sunket is a supplementary weft
technique,
right?
Okay.
So the threads are being put in this way. So that pretty much tells you.
That would be a weft?
Right. And the weft threads are the ones that are creating these selvages.
Okay.
Right? These self-woven
edges.
So when you get a chance to look at a textile really closely, that's your clue there. So then you can look at the E-cut and sort of try and tell how were the threads actually tied and dyed to give you an idea. And you can use this magnifying glass if you like. With the back of the sun cut. and then the front of the ikat. Also a fringe, if you can tell that it's been twisted out of the textile itself and not just tacked on later.
Right.
Those will be the warp threads.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting because it makes it a little bit easier to think about how the textile might have been made if you know that.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. Also interested in this little bit of I wouldn't really say purple, but maybe indigo or something that
mm-hmm.
keeps popping up here.
Mm-hmm.
Are these? Would you, in looking at this textile, ascribe meaning to the different colors? As we've seen sometimes in class that certain groups used certain colors, and even certain colors for certain occasions. Or?
Yeah, when you start thinking about color
mm-hmm.
in this context. I guess you would want to start off by certainly describing the main body
right.
of the color. So you have the two ends that are a solid color with this supplementary weft
right.
of the metal. And then you have this, what's called a center field
mm-hmm. okay.
of this ikat. And you're going to decide, is it weft, is it warp, is it double, by looking at it closely. And then you could describe the body of the background
mm-hmm.
color, and then the other colors, and probably, you know, in some proportion, what do you see creating the main linear or curvilinear
mm-hmm.
aspects to
mm-hmm.
this pattern, and then what do you see as what you're saying popping up are accent colors, and can you tell what color was laid down first, if you look closely at the material, how do you think they went about making this resist and then dye and then change the resist and dye again? So if you had to do that, you can sort of start to figure out how it was plotted out and made color onto what color.
Seems to me,
hmm?
in looking at this, and I'm thinking that it would make sense to do these indigo colored areas first, and either that's right or I've got it totally backwards because that's what they have the least of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does that sound reasonable to you? Or?
Well, then look at what's next to the indigo.
Right. This. And do you think this is faded, or do you think it was always kind of this pale, orangey yellow, or might this have been a gold thread at one time?
Well, yeah, it's one of those colors now that with age it could have oxidized a bit.
Okay.
Or it could be one of the ways to tell. It could be the natural silk color,
mm-hmm.
but I tend to doubt that it would have such a peachy tone.
Right.
But you're right, it could be age, or it could, and it could be just the bare natural silk. And then what can we surmise then? That they had to make these resists to keep that the original color
yes. okay.
before they did the overdye
right.
of the other colors.
So
then when you look at that, I would surmise that it's easier to lay in because the bulk of those lines
mm-hmm.
are that light color.
Right.
but that was either dyed first to give structure to the pattern,
mm-hmm.
or was left as a resist free of dye to give structure, and then the other colors were
okay.
built in. But have you decided, is it weft, is it double, is it?
I think it's weft.
Okay, good.
Because if it were double, it would be identical on the reverse side, correct? When they're double, aren't they the same?
They are the same,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, then I think it's weft.
Mm-hmm.
And what you just said about this peach color, maybe being the first color, makes actually perfect sense when you look at it and see that this the red tones,
mm-hmm.
the way the red tones intermingle with all of the other colors,
mm-hmm.
That there are some of these peach areas that have red over them.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And the green areas, too.
Yes. And so to me, that means that the red... Oh, even... Well, this is a little bit tricky in this bluish area because it's hard to know...
Remember when they're lying, and this it doesn't have to be a big focus
mm-hmm.
unless that's the aim that you want to take
mm-hmm.
is the dyeing and the dyeing methods of a textile, because you can take any angle that
right.
you want
right.
with these. You could think about the fact that, and you could do some reading on dyeing,
mm-hmm.
but you'll see that when they're lying and putting in color, that they're tying the resist, and then they're dipping and sunning and dipping and sunning, so you actually have a chance to arrest a color
okay.
at a certain depth.
Oh, okay.
And then go deeper with other parts with the same color to give you a different effect. So when you start thinking about dyeing, you've worked with a lot of photographic
yes. Yes.
Techniques.
Yes, and I've done tinting of photographs, dyeing
mm-hmm.
of photographs,
mm-hmm.
so...
And so you realize that there's a lot you can do with a color to create different hues of that color. And that's exactly what happens when you're dealing with these natural dyes. So you can actually get a very pale
mm-hmm.
blue
yes.
to go over
mm-hmm.
this natural yellowy color to give you this color and then keep dyeing to get a deeper indigo.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at indigo. I think we have some books on indigo dyeing in this library.
Okay.
But if you're interested in that aspect of it.
Well, it's very interesting to me for a number of reasons. I'm really curious about the ways in which dyes and colors were used,
mm-hmm.
the methods. I wasn't a fibers major, and I've just done the sort of typical at-home dyeing in a pot, an old pot or a plastic tub or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very interesting to note technique, and I'm thinking that if you understand something about the technique, you might be able... to understand something about the time frame, although I know that if this is
mm-hmm.
a tradition that's passed on and the
mm-hmm.
methods remain the same,
mm-hmm.
then that might make dating it
mm-hmm.
through the knowledge of the dyeing technique a little iffy.
But the other thing to go on is less technical, but
mm-hmm.
you can look at the color and compare it to, and hoping that you're looking at true color photographs,
mm-hmm.
but obviously compare it and see, are we looking at... an item that has, you know, that has a resemblance to the colors that were popular in the early 20th century or late 19th century or whatever, you'll find, though, that most textile historians will resist dating. It's very difficult.
Well, that was the question I had for you. I'm wondering if you have thoughts on how old it is or...
Well, look at the wear and tear.
Yeah.
Oh, and before I forget,
oh, okay.
that is just a
great.
Cheat sheet for...
Okay.
pointers for the final project, and I'll be handing these out tomorrow.
Great,
class,
thanks.
But if you're going to get started today thinking
yes.
about it, you want to think about
mm-hmm.
that. When we look at the larger piece, and this is something you want to think about in researching any kind of older artifact, is the types of wear
mm-hmm.
and tear that you see,
mm-hmm.
and does that tell you anything? Where we have these problems with the dye, whether it was, you know, hit with bleach, or a lot of this wear that you'll see, and a lot of fraying, this will all give you that, you know, in a deep, deep study of a textile, this could give you a lot of information. And you could start to actually scientifically figure out, did that mean it was wrapped in a certain way around the body?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be pretty difficult for us to attempt it in a short little paper.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you were doing a dissertation, you could certainly go further. You can look at the accuracy of the ecot and surmise something about the weaver. You can look at the motifs and see if you can see a prevalence of this motif in either I collected this in Bali,
mm-hmm.
but you'll see similar, more contemporary pieces in Palembang, Palembang, and that's in East Sumatra. So what's interesting is on both sides of Java, you have these two islands that do Songket and also Ikat. So where can we find these long textiles that use the combination to decide where it can comes from?
Mm-hmm.
Because having found it on Bali means nothing, because that's
right.
the big marketplace.
Right.
So you have to dissuade
mm-hmm.
yourself from saying, oh, this must be Balinese.
Mm-hmm.
But it could very well be, or it could have been used there for many years and brought in from somewhere else.
It's interesting, too, to note these tears in the fabric, or these holes in the fabric. Some of these look to me more like natural wear over the course of time, or
mm-hmm.
maybe a moth or something, whereas these kind of look like cigarette burns. So it's
but
really,
also,
it's hard to tell.
If you feel this
yeah.
and see how easily this stuff is to pick up, it was unfortunate
mm-hmm.
that they decided to put these pieces of scratchy
yes.
silver metal
into the
sides. So it could have been too, if you think about it, the way it was folded in on itself and stored. Do you want to stretch it out here
yes,
on the
I'd love
floor?
To. Thanks.
If we just go carefully and lay it out here on the floor, you should be able to get a
great.
Shot.
Thank you.
Hi. Yes, automatic failure.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I don't know which is worse, to take your shoes off, take the risk, but I'm going with the taking them off of the shoes.
It's nice to have photographic records of these because you can study the motifs at leisure, too, and be able to compare.
Unfortunately, I
you're able, if you want to jump up on the... on the desk, that whatever works
well,
for
that's
you.
That's what I was going to do, and I feel bad because I wasn't
able
to ask, but I have a camera that'll let me have a panoramic shot.
Oh, excellent.
So.
Okay. Whatever works.
I could probably photograph it in three different passes here. Sorry.
No. You're very engrossed. Take your time.
Emily, if you want to hop over while Janet does some photographs, maybe I can get you started.
Okay.
And I'm sorry if I blanked on your email.
Oh no,
I'm going to keep track of people and I asked people to sign up and tell me which one.
Oh,
so I'm sorry.
Honestly, it's fine. I really like. I'll admit, I have no real knowledge of how to do this. So I'm
okay.
Any textile really.
Okay, we'll set
will,
it straight.
Exactly, and
okay.
I actually look forward
so
to
here
it.
Is just sort of a tip of pointers of things that I want you to consider and incorporate into the paper. Different angles that you can think about. And I guess what I'd like you to do is choose something that at least sparks your interest.
Okay.
Just visually appeals to you.
Okay.
Because who wants to work on something that's boring, uninteresting to you?
Okay.
So I know I quickly looked through my list to figure out who had what today and brought in those pieces. And I kept thinking, do I want to bring that Batikin, and then I thought, no, I can't remember what Emily, she must want to see me about a museum piece. Okay. So what I have here today is the Sankhya Ikat.
Okay.
The piece of batik that I brought in from Thailand, that I found in Thailand, and I can tell you it is from one of the minority tribes that lived there. This is an ikat from Timor,
mm-hmm.
that's been in the news. And this is a woman's sarong with multiple techniques, also from the part of Timor. So you could do some work on motifs or textile styles, try and figure out what its social uses were and so forth.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I actually.
I want to put something by one of these holes so I can have an idea of the scale later. Looking for a dog.
And don't forget, you want to measure it.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I think initially I wanted to do that, but actually I think that this one is a little more interesting than this.
Sure.
Okay, so this one?
The sarong?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, we're being recorded.
Okay.
For the linguistic, this Michigan corpus, if you don't mind, if you do mind, I'll just cut out the portions. Other conversation.
No.
All in the name of science.
There you go.
As artists, how can we deny? Thanks. Okay.
Okay. And this is from
the island called Timor.
Yeah.
That was in the news. And the problem that you'll have is in looking through books of Indonesian textiles, and also don't forget to look at the books that concerns all of Southeast Asia, because they're going to have sections with a lot of photographs on textiles. You want to try and figure out where in Timor, because there's many different groups. Remember when we looked at the groups in Flores, we looked at the Mangrai people, and even just in that little western section of the island, there were two different groups with very different attitudes about textiles. So see if that gets you any closer as to where in Timor.
Okay.
Okay. Or if they're wrong completely and it's not Timorese, where might it be? If you see something that looks closer from another little island. Because Timor, like the problem that Janet has, is I bought that in Bali, but Bali is the big marketplace. So
mm-hmm.
is it Balinese or was it brought in from another island? Timor is one of those districts where there's a big market there too. So if someone says it comes from Timor, did it come from Timor or did it come from a little island nearby? So it helps if you look more widely at a lot of photographs to see if you can find a relationship to get you closer. So once you describe the object,
mm-hmm.
Then you'll want to figure out what its social context is.
Okay.
And see what you can learn from that. And then you can choose angles, like, you know, symbolic significance or some kind of other function.
Okay.
Okay.
So you want us to determine where it's from based on how it's made and then the motifs found on it? Is that
That's
how you think we'll figure it out?
Usually, yeah. It's like finding the point of what's called the provenance of an artifact. And what you usually have to go on are style and motif and color and technique and size and shape, and see how close you can get with other similar objects that are truly have been identified as coming from a certain place, from made by a certain people. And that will get you closer to understanding the social context. If you can't get that close, you can step back and then say, well, but we do know it's a woman's tube dress, normally called a sarong, and go from there. And we know, you know, you can decide how it's made, how many bandings did it take, how many types of weaving went into it, that sort of thing.
Okay.
To sort of get you somewhere with the piece, even if you can't get completely to the end result that you wanted to in this brief amount of time to do a small research. At least it gets you started and working and considering and thinking about one particular artifact or artwork.
Okay.
So, I've got a microscope here. If you don't have measuring tape, you're lucky because Janet does.
I have a ruler because my measuring tape disappeared.
So, you know, just feel free to inspect. I don't care if you touch these as long as you're careful with them and don't get ink on them.
Is very interesting on this too.
What's
gold,
that?
The gold thread, it looks like it was repaired with the black thread.
Okay. The hazards are collection.
How do you store them at home?
As best I can with the archival material that I would really miss, hopefully someday.
Do you have to, I imagine, be mindful of the temperature and
keep them out of sunlight.
Right.
Notice how this side here has been faded and this side here is not. So that gives you an idea of how it was used in the culture. And they were careful to sun when it's drying only this portion here. So it would be faded and hung out and dried in. Usually they try and dry in the shade, but if it did get any kind of sun damage, it's usually contained in a certain area. So they can keep the bright colors as best they can.
Interesting.
Okay, so it's okay. You don't have to move. Thank you. And were those the papers that I was going to
follow? Yes.
Okay,
after
that for
you
now.
Thank you.
Sure.
And I will be available the week in between the 14th and the 21st.
Okay.
So if you're desperate to see it again
and
or talk to me, just give me an email.
Great. Thank
you
very, very much.
All right.
Should I just drop this where when I
finish? You can just give it to me.
Okay, I'll go out here so
okay.
I only can work. I'll bring it back.
Thanks.
Sure, thank you.
Are these like individual motifs or would you say they're more border patterns?
The stripes?
Mm-hmm.
I would say they're stripes, but this this stripe within this stripe?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you use this? Is it turned the right way?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, there is definitely something. Cause there,
so is it what you want to determine? Is it woven or is it dyed? How is it made? Because that might help. Because you do have some vertical.
Looks like it's dyed.
Dyed as opposed to a thread going across.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then that would be called econet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. But yeah. And
but
then if you can tell how many threads, it looks like two from here, but I'm not looking through the scope.
Yeah, it's definitely, and the yellow one is two.
Mm-hmm.
But then the orange one is definitely woven.
Larger. Ah. So then there's technique here, then there's a plain weave here with the stripe, and then there's this sort of semi-plaid that's going on here, or a check.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, what could this be? If you look on the back, see how that is sort of the mirror, the reverse? So you have the dark on the light, and here you have the light on the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you an idea that it's a supplementary weft going, or weft or warp, weft.
Okay, and you know it's a weft because they're the horizontal?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No.
That would be the warp, right? Because
yes.
Here we've got the band going in which direction? It'd be going this way.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be your warp thread, right? Because here's your selvage here. And then we have the seam. So you have this band and sewn and woven here. So it's actually woven, and what would you imagine this is?
More?
Right, so here you have one warp band this way, so this is a supplementary warp here. And then you have plain weave,
mm-hmm.
And then you have econ, and then you have this checked weave.
Wow.
And then you have econ.
And
then up to here, and then you have a seam. So you have one band of multiple techniques, and then this band. And see if you can figure out, is this a supplementary warp? Is it supplementary weft? Is it tapestry? Is it embroidery? We just have to study it now and then read a little bit up on the different techniques. Timor is an island known for its multitude of incorporating a multitude of techniques in each of their pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So the closer you look at these, the more you see that went into them. So you have then this banding,
and
then this banding,
and it's the same.
And then
like
you have a duplicate. And are they the same proportions on either side? Sometimes you can tell, was there meant to be on a waistband, or are they the same?
It's like this one is bigger.
Mm-hmm. So you have a different scale.
But then the others do appear to be the same.
Yeah. It's interesting too. Is this is a different height?
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
So would that be where you think they rolled it? Leave room for the
roll. I frankly don't know how to explain that. That's quite a bit of difference.
Yeah.
That's what, an inch and a half. What is the bottom like that? Is it meeting at the seam?
No, the bottom also has a difference in it.
So, so this could be here you start out, and as the weaver wove, it got wider because they were pulling less hard on the selvage here, on the weft threads. And that was here. And then as they came down to the end, it got tighter. So it became smaller again. See how this sort of pulls in and curves?
Mm-hmm.
So that means when she's manipulating the loom, because it's just a simple backstrapped hand loom, that it would. And she probably wasn't really practiced at keeping the selvage. There's certain things that you can do to keep that selvage even. But that's a good way of telling that these two were actually in the same warp length. So this probably matched this, and then this would be on the cut.
So
the two parts.
She would have to cut it down the middle.
Right. So in other words, she's weaving something like this. Right? And as she's weaving, because these warp threads are like strung on here.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's weaving the weft in. And depending on how hard she throws the shuttle and goes back, it will.
There
you
go. Thank
you.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
We'll give you a different width,
mm-hmm.
slightly, depending on how skilled the weaver is. And then once she finished at this Y point, she decided to cut it in half and then make this one banding and the other second banding. So that would be my guess. And then it makes it a little bit simpler when you think about this. But then you have this also is a different depth too. She had to fit that, and this doesn't meet here. Does on this side.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little slight difference here. Hi, Amy. Let's get you started out there. You wanted to work with the Balinese piece.
Can we photograph them?
Yes.
Okay. We can.
So why don't you help me lay this out here. And let me give you this. Everyone who's coming in today, look at this earlier. Some items to think about when you're doing this research paper, okay?
Okay.
This will give you a chance to think about questions you might have in class tomorrow.
Want us to go so in detail in the description that we talk about how the stripes increase and decrease?
I think you need to decide what you want to spend your time on. We're only doing 3-4 pages.
Yeah.
So I think do the description as best you can in proportion to this size of a paper.
Okay, but every single thread, you just can't.
And not unless you want to do a dissertation.
Exactly. Okay.
I think you want to keep it in perspective here.
Okay.
I mean, noting that they vary in number could be of import if you find that they say it's auspicious to have a variable number of threads, or you find that someone starts talking about stripes and the number of stripes meaning something,
okay.
that you could tell it was for a woman that had one child or two children, depending on how many, you know, mid stripes. I don't know, if you find something of that in your research, then you'd say, oh, I wish I had counted.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes doing a little bit more specific note, taking notes on a piece, you may or may not use it all. In the paper, you may or not find that it's worthwhile. I'm not going to want to read minute details unless they have
a lot of importance
for the rest of the paper.
I feel like this is so broad. I don't know where to start, but I'm getting better. I'm getting a better idea.
Well, and read this over, too, and then try and plot it out.
Can I come back if I find that I didn't do extensive enough?
Yes, and I'll be here that week. You can just email me and I'll meet you.
Okay.
Between the 14th and the 21st.
Okay.
So, yeah, so next week, even though we don't have any class,
yeah,
so I'll be available.
Okay, because yeah, I'm going to be out of town Thursday through Sunday.
Okay, no problem.
And these are upstairs, the books?
Yeah, you're going to find, if you do a Merlin search, you can start with the research books on reserve here.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll also find that there are more books in the stacks in the Fine Library. And also, if you do a Merlin search, you'll find that some of them are also at Hatcher, at the Grad Library.
Okay.
So you want to look at Indonesian textiles. You want to look at also Southeast Asian textiles. But if you start with the reserve books and look at their bibliographies, if you want to find other people that have written other topics, that's a good place to start. Is this a digital catalog?
No.
It's
very cheap that you have your own. Okay. Yeah, I wish I had a digital.
If it's E-catted, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference in between the strings, or would you? Because I thought that this was initially, but then looking at it closely, it looks like there is blue thread actually stitched.
Take a look on the other side and see what you see. A lot of times what you need to do is consider both sides when you're talking about a woven item.
There it has green in it, but I can't even see here.
Yeah. And where else do we see green?
There. And there. There too.
These are threads.
Mm-hmm.
Green. And these are threads too.
The blue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a plain weave, but they've made this. See how the yellow has come through across?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can start to begin to see what the warp thread colors are.
They're green, aren't they?
I think they're blue. Well, you're right, they look green here.
Yeah, because this looks black, but then here it looks green.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the problem with indigo. It will go from blue to green, not this bright of a green.
Mm-hmm. But
That's something completely different. This looks like a supplementary. See how you'll see, I don't have anything fine enough to point. This thread here almost seems to be pulled up here.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to just sort of put this aside. This may be, you see where they've used two threads. They've used two warp threads here.
Yeah.
And here's one weft going over and then under, and then you have the blue. So it's actually when you see these striped colors here, there seems to be a complication to the weave as opposed to this plain over under with
mm-hmm.
various warp threads or various weft threads over the warp.
Yeah.
But then again, remember, we're looking at the warp threads. And we don't see the warp threads, do we? If considering this to be the warp.
Yeah.
So that means you've got a primary, you've got a technique that's primarily weft-oriented. So weft patterning on the inside, but is that what we see on the outside? Because this is the outer face, right? And the way you could tell which is outside, which is inside, right? Because this could be reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Did they mean it to be this way? Did they mean it to be this way? Then you want to look at this pattern, which is the exterior here, or the seam.
So we're looking at the inside then.
see how the threads bunches are ending here?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the interior.
Oh, okay.
This is not meant to be the exterior here. So you can actually see where they're ending these thread
mm-hmm.
bundles. So then this would be meant to be
yeah.
inside, and this would be meant to be the exterior. So this would be considered the face of the cloth,
mm-hmm.
and this would be the inside. So then when you have the face of the cloth, you do have the weft threads being more predominant than the warp. I don't think you want to go into this much detail. I think you want to focus on the larger issues of the fact that there's one, two, at least three types of weaving. Because unless you're a weaver and want to pore over this for hours, I have a feeling that would just consume all of your time
mm-hmm.
in trying to figure out the weaves. And we really haven't focused on weaves in class. It would take too much technical background and knowledge to do that. It would take us away from the larger issue of personal adornment. So I think you want to see it as a multi-technique woven textile, and then look for people that utilized. And you may learn more when you do the reading about these techniques, and then you'll say, oh, that's what that was.
Okay, so... Okay, that makes
sense.
And then
looking at the motif, I can bring you a book to show you what someone thinks about this particular motif. These motifs here, these obviously are the predominant two motifs that we have. You might want to focus on those. And then just think about the coloration variation and the variation of weaves. And see where that leads you. But it's not a bad lesson to learn that the more you look, the more you see and realize how complicated this was to assemble. Because at first glance...
Yeah.
Be overwhelmed and stuck. Okay, Amy, how can I help you?
Questions? Do you know how to start? Do you know how you want it to end? Okay, so look, part one.
Yeah.
Here we have a long, narrow cloth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We've got two ends and a center field. And then you're going to want to say, well, let's see. I mean, think about it. Have you had other art history classes?
Mm-hmm.
So you've looked at paintings?
Yeah.
Okay. So think about it in those terms. And what do the artists do? We have one particular technique here in the center field.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? And then you want to decide, mm-hmm. is it work? And then you have the socket here. And then you have this technique of crochet here. Now, crochet is not local. So this obviously came in the colonial period. And so this is the newest technique that's being introduced here. And you can see how it's attached. It's attached to the original to the piece. And you want to look at the motifs. So you want to look at the scale. How much sunkit to econ do we have? Can that tell me anything about how it was used? So when you start looking for similar textiles that have been published, photographs, you want to compare motif, you want to compare color, you want to compare dimensions, you're going to want to compare technique type to what you can find published to decide. And I would send you in two directions. You want to look at Balinese textiles. It's the Balinese to go Songkit and Econ. And that's where I bought this. You're also going to want to look at East Sumatra Palawan. P-A-L-A. too far afield. Short research paper to cover these three parts.
Okay.
So you want to sort of limit your description, limit your ideas. I'm trying to figure out its provenance and a little bit about its social context. Was it a dance cloth? Was it a shoulder cloth? Was it a wedding cloth or a funeral cloth? That kind of idea.
Okay.
Okay. And then just sort of think of an angle. If you want to compare it with another image of something else that's been published, or you see someone wearing something that's similar. Is that your
own? Yeah.
Okay. So just holler if you have more questions.
Okay.
And this one looks different. You would say it's not weft, but warp, because of it goes this way.
Well, the warp is going this way, right?
Yeah.
The long way. So as far as you can tell the warp by looking for the selvage. Remember, so you have that weave. Where's my little? You have the warp threads,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the weft threads. And as the weft is going back and forth, it's creating its own finished end of the weaving, whereas these seamed ends are raw edges. You have like threads that have to be hemmed over,
okay,
to keep them from fraying.
Okay.
So whenever you see a finished end, that's telling you the side, the weft side, and so that it was moving this way.
Okay.
And then you can tell something about the technique here by the way they laid in the colors. Each color wasn't dyed in, it was the threads were already dyed, and then they were laid in bundles. So, a type of song kit, which is actually in Timor, I believe, called song kit. It's almost like an embroidery, but it's actually done during the weave. It's not, you can see it's not done on top. Incorporated into the weave.
So they can do that? I didn't. They can just put threads in for black?
Mm-hmm. So when she's weaving, here you have the weft and the warp, and then she has extra little threads that she's weaving in, and she's going one green here, one green here, one green here. As she's weaving, she's creating these patterns and incorporating them as she's weaving, not laying them in on top later.
Okay. Okay. I think I have a good base to start with. I suspect I'll be back next week.
Okay,
yeah.
No problem.
Thank you for
no
meeting
problem.
With me.
Sure. Hopefully that helps. Look over these this, and then tell me if you're puzzled or you get swamped. Just let me know.
Okay. Okay.
Thank
you.
But just keep in mind the scale of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a dissertation. You just want to get a general idea and a start at attempting to be enthralled with a piece of artwork.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll see you tomorrow. I'm not going to be here Thursday, so can I turn in my Thursday responses tomorrow?
Yes. And let's see. You do know that it's going to be posted, the final exam questions
yes.
are going to be posted on the web, and you have a way of logging in
mm-hmm.
where you're going to be. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
you.
See you.
I'll see you tomorrow. Have a good day.
You too.